The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to today's action in the Curragh. A very good card to look forward to over in Ireland today. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action, as always, is our William Hill Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, yes. Very well, Mark. Thank you.
Good man. Good card to look forward to in the Curragh. We've got a couple of Group 3s, a listed race, and some competitive handicaps as well to go. So, yeah, pretty good day, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Nice to see Magician back in Ireland, obviously racing on home soil, and I'm sure we'll put a marker down to Royal Ascot today. He didn't run too badly, did he, out in Dubai when he was sixth to Gentle Donna. There's a couple of short price favourites today which look, you know, unless you put them together, you're not going to make a great deal of money. But in between, as you said, some good competitive action.
Yes, and we'll go through the card now then. Let's get stuck into the action. In form as well, Andy, we must say, after your podcast success yesterday. Plenty of, a couple of nice price winners there. 14 to 1, 20 to 1, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, they were stabs in the dark, really. They weren't confident votes, as you could probably tell by my sort of vibes during the analysis. But they were worth backing at the prices. I always look for trying, give the podcasters something to get stuck into, and if there's one there at a big price, then let's have a go for it. Yeah, it was nice to see both of them win, which is quite amazing. But that one race where I highlighted the 20-1 chance in, it's definitely worth keeping an eye on now, because, you know, if the fifth horse has won, then we need to be following the first four home.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Right, let's get stuck into today's action then. Hopefully we can find a few more winners today. And starting in the 2 o'clock, Andy, we might not get Rich back in this favourite though. It's a 2-11 favourite for this 5-furlong race, and it's for 2-year-olds which are EBF eligible that have not won more than one race. And the Great Wall fits that bill. He's won the one race, made his debut and won on his debut. He's 2-11, the Edna O'Brien colt, at the top of this betting. Bawana is 11-2, 12-1 for Fresh Focus, and 20-1 are bigger prices. The rest, can you see past the Great Wall?
Not really, no. I do respect Board. I think he's quite a nice colt. He won second time up at Cork after finishing the night catching runner-up on his debut here on the opening day of the Irish flat season behind Beach Bell. So he's useful, and you know his speed figure at Cork wasn't too shabby either. But I've got to be honest, I thought the Great Wall was equally impressive, if not even more so, when he won on his debut the other day down in Tipperary. I think the key is the fast ground as well. We know that the Great Wall handles the ground, whereas we're not sure whether Barana will handle the quicker surface as well as he has the heavy ground he's run on twice since. So clearly he's going to tip the balance in the favour of the Great Wall, who I presume would go towards Royal Ascot after he wins today. We presume he'll win today because he's not suggested he will. The only recommendation I could say is if you put him in a double with, you know, the short price favourite of A9 Brian's later on, Magician, you're looking at 5 on, 3 on, that boosts it up to sort of 4-6, 4-7, doesn't it, for the double. So yeah, there's more than one way to skin a cat, I suppose, and they look both over the line, to be honest. I really like the way this horse quickened up last time out. He travelled really well, and you know, Stabler won this race last year with Michaelmas, so it all points in the direction of the Great Wall.
Okay, the Great Wall then. In the opener, the second race is a little bit more competitive, the 2:30. It's a handicap over 5 furlongs, and we're going 6-1 the field this morning with Majestic Timeline at the top of the betting. Freedom Square is 7-1. Big Bad Lily is also 7s. 8-1 for Cat Will Do. Queen Grace is 9-1. Bit of money for Kiss the Stars, 14s into 10s. It's 10-1 for Gembat and Homeric Hymn as well. And then 12-1 are bigger prices, the rest. Quite up on this, Andy. What are your thoughts in the 2:30?
Yeah, my thoughts are that I think you're probably better off just having a small interest in this race without going too wild. These races I find quite difficult to fathom. If I manage to drop on one, then so be it. But it'd probably be out of luck more than great judgment. My two recommendations here, one of them, funny enough, has already been backed, Kiss the Stars, because she ran in a very good race on her seasonal reappearance down in the Nace the other day, which is a much better race than this. It's a 0-96 and contained some really good informed sprinters, including the winner Gathering Power, who's certainly on the upgrade. But there's a whole host of fancied horses in that race, and they finish in a bit of a heap. And Kiss the Stars, actually, although finishing only 8th of the 11, actually comes out quite well on the numbers off that back of that run. And he got beat five lengths. But she kept on quite well without being smashed around in the latter stages. She's won a couple of good races here at the Curragh as well, which also kind of points me in the direction of her. That third behind my good brother Nero Emperor is very, very good form. And she was actually at the handicap that day. I mean, Nero Emperor, the horse that finished second as a horse that I told podcasters to follow on its next couple of starts, and it duly obliged the next time out. So I do think Kiss the Stars is worthy of that market support. And the other one to keep an eye on is Home Eric Him. Now, this horse comes from an informed yard, as everyone knows. Jessica Harrington had a fantastic Punchestown Festival. She had six winners, a hat-trick on two consecutive days. And I thought this horse ran encouragingly on its first start back over this track on the 13th of April. It was behind a horse of David Watchman's called Booker. Now, on that occasion, Home Eric Him made the running up towards the standside rail and looked to be still going rail round about the furlong and a half marker, but just faded late on when push came to shove. I put that horse down as being a horse that needed the run that day more rather than anything else. Dropping back to five furlongs, got a good high draw again towards the near side rail. Hopefully with that run now, you know, going to strip fitter, and with the Harrington horses going well, you know, could easily put up a good show here. So I'll probably have two against the field here, which you probably need to do with a 6-1, 7-1 the field handicap at the Curragh. I'll go with Home Eric Him and Kiss the Stars.
Okay, Home Eric Him and Kiss the Stars, a couple against the field in the 2:30. Moving on to the 3:05 next, and this is a listed race. It's the Tetriarch Stakes, and it's over seven furlongs, and Michael Mass heads the betting at 3-1. Won on this card, of course, last year, the scene of his only victory at the Curragh, and he heads the betting at 3-1. Shining Emerald, 4-1. Great White Eagle is 5s, 8-1 for Alcacer, and Focus on Venice. Fountain of Youth is 10s, and then 14-1, or bigger prices the rest. How do you see the 3:05 going, Andy?
This is an absolute humdinger, this is. I think we're going to get loads and loads of winners out of this race down the line. And I suggest you set your videos and watch the replay of this race more than once or twice, because I think we're going to see group race performance come out of this. It's a listed race, but it is almost a group two, on my reckoning anyway, on my paper. Some of these are taking drops down from group one races. And three of them are trained by Aidan O'Brien. And even the outsider's no mug either, the Islander, who posted a really good time down in Cork the other day for a maiden. It was almost too good to be true, that Cork time. I'm still kind of like scratching my head and trying to work out why he ran that fast or how he managed to run that fast. So I certainly wouldn't disregard the Islander at a massive price, but let's deal with the front end of the market, because Aidan O'Brien's got two very good runners here from last season, two very smart two-year-olds now make the three-year-old campaign, and Michaelmas and Great White Eagle are the two horses in question. Now, Joseph O'Brien's gone with Michaelmas. It was probably with a heavy heart he did that as well, because Great White Eagle's a very nice horse, and he rode that on each of his three starts last year. He was a disappointment, of course, in the middle part when he was well fancied, but he just didn't fire that day. Maybe the ground might have had something to do with it. On a faster surface the time before, he'd won over this track very comfortably, beating a decent field in a fast time. So I won't say I'm surprised he's gone with Michaelmas. I just think he probably thinks Michaelmas is a better long-term project, and he's looking to get with him, and probably draw up a better association with him throughout the rest of the season. It wouldn't surprise me, actually, if he got it wrong, because, like I say, I do regard the other one quite highly. So that's dealing with the two Aidan O'Brien horses to start with. We've got Shining Emerald as another horse I've got a massive amount of time for. But I just think the ground might be a little bit too quick for him. It's good to firm today at the Curragh, and most of his form's on soft ground. I do think he hits the ground quite hard, Shining Emerald, so on this occasion I'll pass him over. So, yeah, that's just dealt with the ones that I think are going to be trawling around the rest of the season. My two actual selections in this race are Alcacer and Gold Peregrine. I'm going to take the front end of the market on, because they haven't had a run. I do like this Alcacer. He was unsighted first time out when well backed in a maiden over a mile on soft or heavy ground. But once he dropped back in trip and he was on a much better surface, he recorded a very fast number down in Cork the other day, much quicker than the one that was won by Focus on Venice at the same track. The second had won yesterday easily at Sligo, it was called Champagne Old Water, and he beat him six lengths. So I do think Alcacer's worthy of a bet at 8-1. And the other one's Gold Peregrine. I do think this horse will improve significantly, A, for the run, and B, for a step up in trip. He's a real fast ground action horse, and even though he's got beat by Great White Eagle last season, I think he's improved. He ran behind Focus in Venice last time out, but he was doing all his best work at the end, crying out for an extra furlong. He's got it today, and he's 14-1. So two against the field here to take on the front end of the market. Alcacer at 8-1, and Gold Peregrine stepping up in trip at 14s.
Okay, on to the 340 next, and we're back into Handicap Company for this one. It's over a mile, and we have 12 of them in the lineup. And at the top of the betting is Dynamite Dixie, the in-form Jim Bolger runner at 9-2. Odicia is 5-1, 11-2 for Cavaco. Wood Sophie Smile is 13-2. Balmont Bell 8s with Cheers Buddy and Alvar, and 12-1 or bigger prices the rest again. And it's another open handicap. What are your thoughts in the 340?
Yeah, real nasty one here for punters. Dynamite Dixie, of course, one last time out, but that was on soft or heavy ground. And, you know, it's a big ask here coming from winning and slogging it away on heavy ground and beating unfit horses to running against horses who've had a run, and now you're racing on a firm surface. So even though it does come here off the back of a win, I'm going to take that horse on. I suggest that podcasters take a real look at Odicia and see how she performs, because she was a horse I got a little bit of time for last season. I managed to tip her when she won in Garen on her last start, and I do think she's with the right man to forward her career. Slightly disconcerting is that the tongue tie, which was on when she won in Garen last time out, has been dispensed with. Whether she's had a breathing up over the winter, I don't know, but certainly keep an eye on her. My selection is going to be Cavaco. From the William McCreary stable. I thought this horse created a really favourable impression when it won first time out at Dundalk on the all-weather. Huge big unit, this horse. And he probably needed the run on ground which would have been a bit too soft for him the last day down in Limerick. He looked all at sea on that ground for me. And being such a big horse that has got a lovely action, that would have obviously impeded his winning chance. I do think this faster surface today will improve his claims. And with Wayne Lorden on board, I can see this horse running a big race today. He's around about 5-6-1 this morning. So I think Cavaco each way is the way I'd go there in that competitive-looking 340.
Okay, Cavaco each way in the 340. Then on to the 415 next, and this is the Mooresbridge Stakes, which is a Group 3 over a mile and a quarter, and we've got a heavily odds-on favourite in the shape of Magician, who's 1-4 at the time of recording this. Won the Irish 2000 Guineas in pretty emphatic style last year. Also won the Breeders' Cup Turf in November over a mile and a half. A mile and a quarter the trip this afternoon. But Aidan O'Brien, he knows how to win this race. He's won the last four renewals of this race, and Magician should come on for that reappearance as well, Andy. So is there any way to see past the Aidan O'Brien call?
Not really, no, is it, Mark? I mean, any sensible form pundit and punter would have to say this horse looks a penalty kick today. Very difficult to make any cogent cases out for the other four on all known form, and Magician, of course, would have loftier aspirations towards the back end of the season, of course. He's got all the big mile and a quarter races to tackle, perhaps ending in the Irish Champion Stakes towards the back end of the season. In between that, he'll probably go to Royal Ascot. As you said, Aidan O'Brien's farmed this race in the last 4 years. He only ever runs his best older horses in this. Camelot won it last year, and I don't see any reason why Magician wouldn't follow suit. The only way I could bolster his SP up would be backing him in a short price double, as I said, in the first race with the Great War. You know, you're going to get sort of 4-6 of your money rather than 1-3. So we'll go with Magician. We'll put him in a short price double with the Great War, and hopefully both of them will oblige.
Okay. On to the 450 next. This is race 6 on the card, and this is another handicap. This one's over a mile and a quarter, and Urban Moon is the favourite here at 7-2. Henry Higgins 5-1 with Teoct, 6-1 for Azurite, Stronger Than Me 7s, 10s for Waver, and Shadagan is also 10-1 and 12-1. Or bigger prices the rest. 10 of them in the lineup for this handicap, Andy, and we've got Urban Moon at the top of the betting. Arrives here in winning form. Do you see him being capable of following up here?
Again, it's all about the ground, isn't it, for this horse? His victory came on soft ground at Navan early on in the season. Reasonable time, he stayed on well. Like him, certainly looked as though the hood worked on that occasion. The hood's on again. It was actually Johnny Murta's first win of the season, so that would have been a real milestone for Johnny. But I'll probably take him on here on account of the ground being maybe on the quick side, and go with Stronger Than Me, a horse that I followed almost religiously last season. He managed to win a couple of times. First time up as well, that was the key for me. He managed to win when he was off first run, off a layoff, and I always liked the look of that. He really quickened up well that day to win in Leopardstown, and I thought he was a horse to follow, and therefore I'll put him up several times on the podcast, hoping he'd replicate that performance. But unfortunately, he only did it once, and the once he did do it was here over course and distance, and that's why I'm so keen on him here today. He managed to beat a horse called Salam Alaikum in fairly convincing fashion on that occasion. It was the first time he had the cheek pieces on, and the headgear that was on that day are on again this afternoon. He run reasonably well on his last three starts without winning, including, again, another decent effort over the course behind Jay Adjadan. Basically, he's an informed runner. Well, he's a horse that runs well at this track. He likes fast ground and he goes well fresh, and he's 7-1. So let's go with Stronger Than Me.
Okay, Stronger Than Me in that race. The penultimate race is the 5.25, and this is the Canford Cliffs European Breeders' Fund Atharsi Stakes, which is a Group 3 over 7 furlongs, and Flying Jib is the 2-1 favourite. She made a very nice impression last year, winning easily in a Dundalk maiden and then following up in listed company at the Curragh. She's got a Coronation Stakes entry as well, so they must expect quite a bit of her this season. And do you see her making a winning reappearance here?
Every chance that she will. Certainly the betting suggests he's going to go well here, and it hasn't been a particularly productive thing taking on Dermot Wells fillies in the last week or two. If you have been taking them on, I think you've been done your money and you're probably in some bunker somewhere. And you know, we tested winning yesterday at Gowran. That's another filly that from that stable that has strutted her stuff first time out. Then it would, you know, it's churlish of me really to offer up anything else. I do like her as well. I think she's a really nice filly. The day she beat Chicago Girl and Dazzling, I thought she was hugely impressive with the turn of foot she displayed on that occasion in fast time. Interesting that Dermot Wells dropping her back in trip. And I'd imagine after today, whatever she does, she will end up running in Patton Company throughout the rest of the season. Maybe that Coronation Stakes would be an automatic ticket booked if she run well or won today. However, I'll probably just, at the prices, go with Want to Be Better, the second favourite here, from an each-way perspective. You can get 9-2 about this horse this morning. I'm pretty sure that she's going to run a race here and finish in the first three, based on that speed figure she produced when third the other day over this course and distance behind Shrewthahan, Paul Deegan's charge. That was a very, very fast time, courtesy of Custom Cut, once again making up at strong pace in the early stages. Even though Want to Be Better couldn't quite drag in the front two towards the back end, she still generated a huge number, and she's actually top of my figures by quite a way. She's also run really well at the Curragh many times. She's hit the frame virtually every time she runs here. Ground, my only slight concern. She's never run on ground or won on ground as fast as this, but she has run on good to firm ground before. So hopefully she'll be okay. But it's just a price thing. I wouldn't put anyone off backing Flying Jib because I do like her, but Want to Be Better at 4-1, 5-1 each way is always the way I look to go when I've got a set of circumstances such as this.
Okay, Want to Be Better than possibly an each way punt to nothing in the 5.25, and the 5.55 is the final race on the card. We finish with a 6 furlong maiden, and we have a newcomer at the top of the betting this morning in the shape of Seas of Wells, who's 3-1, 7-2 for Danish Duke. Another newcomer, Household Cavalry, is 7-2, Monsieur Power 7-2 as well, 7-1 for Chance to Dance, 8-1 for Calorie, and then 10-1 or bigger prices the rest. So a couple of newcomers prominent in the betting for this maiden, Andy. Anything scream out to you here?
Well, I certainly suggest we pay huge attention to John Ox's filly down the bottom here, Sea of Wells, beautifully bred by Dan Silly, cost a few quid as well, and obviously runs in the same colours as Sea of the Stars. John Ox actually has made quite a decent start to the season for him. Last year was an absolute nightmare. I don't think he hardly had double figures winners, but he had a nice winner at Dundalk the other night called Star So Bright. He also had Tirana, which won a listed race as well, beating El Salvador, and Catani won a maiden at Nacy the day. So things are looking a lot brighter, and I think you could probably back the John Ox horses with a bit more confidence than you could this time last year. So let's keep an eye on her. If she's well back, then obviously we should take note. The one with the form for me is Danish Duke, and I'll probably go with him each way around about 9-2 this morning. Davey Watchman's charge has only had the one run. He was actually a withdrawal the other day due to the soft ground, so the ground should have come in his favour on this occasion. And he raced behind Gold Peregrine first time up. And, of course, Gold Peregrine is a horse I fancy this afternoon early on, so we get a chance to look at that form. The second has won. That won a maiden here at the Curragh on its opening salvo. A horse called Booker from the same stable. So that form looks pretty good. The numbers suggest it was good. And there's no reason to suggest why Danish Duke, providing he's trained on, wouldn't be good enough to at least hit the board here and finish in the frame. So despite the persuasive look of Sea of Wells and the likelihood of there being good money for that filly, I'll take a chance with Danish Duke.
Okay, Danish Duke then in the last race. Let's just have a summary of your selections, Andy, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through them one more time.
Yeah, the first race should go the way of Aidan O'Brien with the Great War, and as I suggest, you put it in a double with the Magician. In the 2.30, I'll have a couple against the field there. Homeric Hymn from the informed Jessica Harrington stable, and Kiss the Stars, I thought, ran well in a much better race down in Nace the other day. Two against the field in the Tetriarch Stakes, Alcata and Gold Peregrine. Both of those two horses are fitting well and both coming off the back of some good time performances. I think Cavaco will run much better than his odds suggest in the 340. Now he's got fast ground to run on. Magician should make up that short price double in the Moresborough Stakes, the 415. Stronger than me goes really well fresh, so with that in mind, I'll go with him in the 450. Want to be better, despite the claims of Flying Jib is my each-way recommendation in the Group 3 Fillies race. And in the final race, the Six Villa Maiden, I like the form of that Danish Duke from last year. He's got a good draw, so hopefully he'll go well in the concluding Maiden.
OK, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck with your selections and enjoy the action in the Curragh this afternoon.
Will do. Thanks, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.